You're listening to the Music Manumit Podcast for January 3rd, 2011. Learn more at musicmanumit.com. Hi, and welcome to another Music Manumit Podcast. I'm Tom, and with me, as always, is Doug.
What's up?
Hey, Doug, how you been?
Good. I survived the all the flight delays and storms. I wasn't on the East Coast, so I didn't have to deal with that. But you know, there's always delays in Chicago. But I made all of my flights. I would not have made all of my flights, except my connectors were also delayed.
Of course they were. If you were, wait, did you not go to North Carolina?
No, I don't ever. We'll stick with ever. I don't ever go back to North Carolina for holidays and stuff, because my parents aren't there. They're in Kentucky, so. I mean, my parents and my brother both live in North Carolina, but they're never there. They're always, you know, during holidays. So, I was in Paducah. That's where I flew to first.
Paducah.
Yeah, which is right on I-24. In between, you know what? I don't know what's on the other side, but it's about 2 hours away from Nashville.
Huh.
And it's like 4 hours away from St. Louis, but I don't know that 24 goes to St. Louis. I think 24 goes to St. Louis, but
what's in Paducah? What is a Paducah?
It was a bustling town back in the atomic age or whatever, like in the 50s.
Okay.
Now there, you know, it's kind of a whole lot of nothing, I guess. It's the largest city in sort of what's called the Jackson Purchase in Kentucky. Not really all of what would be considered Western Kentucky, but how many counties is this here? I don't know how many counties it is exactly, but it's 2,400 square miles is the Jackson Purchase, so it's the biggest city in that. But
Jackson Purchase, is that like, are you talking like when they were still discovering America type purchase?
Well, Andrew Jackson purchased it from, I don't know, I guess from just, you know, Native Americans. Yeah, purchased it from the Chickasaw Indians. So
they still go by that? That seems kind of out of date. They'd still be going by the,
I mean, the you know, the, like Vermont still has a, you know, a French name. You know, so, you know, a lot of the, you know, the states are still the same names as they were when it was the when they were the 13 colonies.
But just like adding the purchase thing on it just seems weird. It just seems like they're still, like, it just happened the other day. Like, oh, that's that thing that Jackson purchased. You know, it just seems weird that it would still be going by that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe they have a burgeoning Wild West business going on down there, and they like to keep a, you know, the feel alive or something. They've got a bunch of old timey places.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what else they would call it. There is a part of it called the Land Between the Lakes, but that's a much smaller.
But see, that's still that's just descriptive. Like, it is land between the lakes. Like, technically, we're an isthmus, so we're land between the lakes.
Yeah, but there's a specific part of it that's called, you know, Land Between Lakes. But there's a lot of things that are descriptive. I mean, like Vermont again is green. You know, from the Vert. I don't actually know what it is in French. It's verde and in Spanish, or I don't know, you know, like that, you get the green salsa has the ver in it. That's where I know all my Spanish from, is from Mexican food. But no, not that's almost true, but not quite. You know, and a lot of things like, you know, rock formations and stuff. Like, there's a town in North Carolina called Chimney Rock, and that's just because there's a rock that looks like a chimney. And
I thought maybe it was some sort of new music format that you've heard of.
No,
I mean, this band, they're Chimney Rock.
Chimney Rock. Yeah, I don't know. Well, it's like the very tip of Kentucky, basically. Paducah's on the Ohio River on the other side of Illinois. So, you know, if I was to drive there, I would drive literally through the entire state of Illinois down to, like, the very tip of it, and that's where Paducah is. Yeah, the place where my grandmother lives is actually called the Jackson House. So they're all about the Jackson around there.
Benjamins. They're about the Jacksons.
They're about the Jacksons. So for better or worse, I suppose. Mm-hmm. It's a really tiny airport. It's got two flights into it a day. That's a slightly controversial. It's, well, basically, I could not actually find in December or January a different time to fly in, but supposedly there is a second flight that flies in.
Ghost flight?
Yeah.
The way you're talking about it, it sounds like it's like a legend.
yes, that's what it seems to be at the moment. So I don't know, but that's, you know, not that important. But anyway, we always drive on Christmas Eve in between my two grandparents' places. And my other grandparents live in Brandenburg, Kentucky, which is the site of a famous Civil War battle. But it's kind of outside Louisville, a long way outside Louisville, but outside Louisville nonetheless. And it's really small place. I mean, 2,000 people in Brandenburg.
I went to the east side of town and ate dinner. The end. That's the beauty of all my relatives living here and me never going anywhere.
Yeah, you know, that has its good points and its bad points. Mm-hmm. You know, I hated when I was living in North Carolina, you know, driving up with my parents, because being in the car that long is just such a miserable experience.
Yeah.
And it was really long for them to go back this time because there was ice all in the mountains.
It was crazy back Everywhere from what I heard.
Yeah. We're talking about on the interstate, though, you know, in the south. So, but, you know, they made it, but it just was slow. And I don't know, you know, why particularly. I don't know the details. They didn't send me pictures or anything. So, but it took a while. And I remember some of those times, you know, where it would be like one lane. And you get that in the summer sometimes, too, because there'd be rock slides. But you either have to go through the mountains or you have to, like, go around the mountains, which means like going into like central Georgia.
And you'd have to take six white horses when she comes around the mountain. Come on.
Yeah, you'd have to do that. You almost have to go down to Atlanta, which is like 3 hours away from where my parents live, like 3 hours south.
Yeah.
So they'd add like 6 hours to the trip or something. Not quite, because going over the mountains takes longer than it should, but we'll say four. We'll be generous. It adds like 4 hours to the trip. But you know, if there's giant boulders laying on the road, you can't really drive through it.
Yeah.
Can't drive through boulders, so
you can try, but you'll lose.
Yeah, it's not gonna work out well. So I'm glad I'm not doing that, as expensive as flying is.
Right.
But how was the east side, you know,
it was fine. It was actually
the legend
kind
of the east.
Yes. It was actually really nice out, and it stayed nice until we got home, and then all of a sudden temperature dropped considerably, and we were already home, so it was cool.
Speaking of really nice, the first day that I was in Paducah, I was wearing a t-shirt. Yeah. Now, it was chilly, but it was, you know, better than going in a place and being hot and having to take off the jacket and carrying around and stuff like that. But then it got cold after that first day. Not as cold as it was here.
Right.
So, colder than pleasant.
Well, we had our Christmas podcast or music-only podcast recently.
We did.
And lately we've been starting out talking about the music that we had played. You had some pretty kick-ass Christmas themes going on there. You want to talk about those a little bit?
What if I said no?
Like, I know. I was just thinking that same thing when I said it. Like, you should just say no. Just leave me hanging.
It's interesting that... So, my girlfriend is a big Peanuts fan. Charlie Brown. And she asked me, you know, and she doesn't know... I mean, everything she knows about, you know, copyright and licensing and stuff, she's learned from me pretty much. I mean, that's
right.
I'm sure that's a slight exaggeration, but, you know, she never cared before, basically. But she listened to it, and she liked it, she thought it was interesting, anyway. But she really liked Linus and Lucy, for probably obvious reasons, given what I've said. But she asked, you know, how does a Vince, whatever his last,
Giribaldi, I think it is.
Yeah, how has that song become Creative Commons? And I was like,
I was wondering the same thing.
I don't know if that's legal, but it's on Jamendo, and they're supposed to police it. So I'm gonna wipe my hands clean of that.
So this is up to them that it was put on there. Okay, because the Linus and Lucy, and I mean, I don't know if I would say that. Sure, it was written in the '60s, so maybe it fell under, you know, it lapsed. But then now there's the whole Bono license thing, or you know.
Yeah. Well, the only thing would be, I think, if they. You have to, like, renew it. I don't know how the application for renewal works. But after a certain period, you have to say, like, hey, I still want this.
Right. But the period to be 30 years after you've died.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is, like, it confused. Because that's the old way that it used to be. But now it's like, oh, you don't really need to worry about it too much. Like, there's ownership that can lapse, like, with the Beatles records and all that kind of crap. Because, you know, Paul's still alive. Oh, yeah, Ringo, too. And they just had the whole thing where they finally got to buy the music back because, you know, Michael Jackson died, you know, and he bought the music for them, and it was up for sale, but I don't know. It's all a huge mess.
Yeah. So, anyway, whenever that, you know, if that link on our show ever dies, then you'll know that Vince and company decided that they didn't want this jelly, whatever their J-E-L. I think actually that it might say on the Jamendo site what it stands for.
I think it's funny that the I on the end is not capitalized.
Yeah, I don't know what that's all
crazy
about.
Crazy kids.
So, yeah, most of it, just like on our website, is jelly music. It doesn't really say what... I don't know if we're supposed to pronounce it different because that last one, is it like jelly or what is it? I don't know.
It's jelly.
Yeah, something like that. But anyway, I don't know what it stands for. Maybe it doesn't stand for anything. Maybe it's just to make people wonder, garner attention.
That's deep.
But yeah, so that was pretty good. And In the instrumental track, the second Christmas song, I thought that was pretty good. Mm-hmm. The other ones were good. Last Christmas, I don't know if you noticed, but I had the second Christmas song second, and I had the Last Christmas last.
I didn't notice that. That's funny. Okay. I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and then there was the I'm learning a song for
the
Christmas thing.
Jack Pleasance tune, yeah.
Yeah, which, I mean, normally... I don't know. I just wanted some variety, you know, like Christmas music. I thought maybe a lot of people would be looking for Christmas music, and I thought, well, this is different.
I liked that one. I thought that was cool. That was that was one of the ones. It was recorded from those spindles that they used to do before they had actual record discs.
Probably won't be hearing a lot of those from me.
I've played a couple of them. I've put a couple of them on before.
But yeah, what did you think of the Last Christmas, the Eaters song?
Off the top of my head, I can't remember it, but I do remember thinking that the name Eaters was kind of funny. And
it was the only hip hop track.
Right.
I don't know.
No, I know, and I'm trying. It's been a couple of days since I did them, and I'm trying to remember which one. Since I did the put the show together, and I'm trying to remember which one it was. But I remember liking it. I think. I mean, there wasn't anything where I was just like, "Oh my God, he put that on there." So I was digging on it.
The only time when I've thought that about the tracks that you had, I mean, a lot of times I don't like them, but you know, but I mean, the only time when I've just been like, "What on earth was he smoking?" was that like a Zombie Queen song or something.
That was the one that. Do you remember? Yes, that one actually. That was when we were first trying out the show, and it never made it to light, it ended up not working. And that one never got released, but I know what you're talking about.
Is it the first one?
Because if it was, it would be the first one that we did.
It might be. I'll look for it.
I know what one you're talking about. Like, it was one of those things where I was listening to it, and I was just kind of, I started working, and when it first started out, I was like, oh, this sounds interesting, so I started downloading it, and then I just had it on the background while I was working. And, it got progressively worse and worse and just, like, noise. And I didn't realize until like we put it together, and you were just like, "What's up with that one song?" And I was like, "Yeah, no, you're right." Yeah, no, that was. I don't see it on there. We may not. Yep, it didn't make the cut. I know what you're talking about, though. But that one.
How did I know about it? Because that was when we were
originally going to be doing the show where each one of the songs was introduced.
Okay.
And that's what it was. And we had a copy of that, and you were listening to that, I think. So, okay. Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I still come by the song sometimes. Yeah, and like I download it, and then I'm just like, God, that's that song that Tom picked. What the?
Yeah, no, that was a very strange band.
Well, what about the ones that you had? The Feliz Navidad is another one where questionable legality.
Exactly, that's what I was thinking too. I was like, you get to put one, I'm going to put one. But for the most part, what I did is I just searched for the word holiday. I wanted to see what kind of, you know, I filtered it by the word holiday on Free Music Archive, and I wanted to see what kind of stuff it would pull up. And I thought it would bring up a lot of the different holidays, not just Christmas. Strangely enough, it did not. It actually brought up pretty much close to all Christmas stuff. I found one that's called Holiday in Congo, and that may just be in name only. The song itself isn't really Christmassy. There may be a little bit of a jingle bell in it, but... It, you know, I just did that because it had the word holiday in it, and I liked the song. So, but the other ones, like the thing that sucked and surprised me was a lot of the really. I found a lot of really cool Christmas music, but a lot of it was non-deriv. So that was
that's a lot. I mean, that happens a lot. Yeah.
But I mean, there were tons where like generally. I was just like, "Oh, this is a great holiday song," and then I'd look and it's non-deriv, and I can't do it. And I was like, "Damn it!" Because a lot of them, the thing is most people, or at least on Free Music Archive. Most people don't release them. They perform them live. So they'll end up either going under the Free Music Archive license, or they'll go under like the full-on share-only license. So that's what I kept running into. But there were a lot of really great live performances of that stuff. But the one that surprised me the most was the first one, The Dreaming of a Black Christmas by Black Sweat. That's the other thing, too, is a lot of these, I couldn't even find the band's websites anywhere on the internet. Like, I'd search for them, so some of them don't even have the website link to them.
Yeah.
Like, the Black Sweat one, when I searched for that, it actually went to a reggae band. It was like this, this 60-year-old reggae guy. So I'm like, well, that's not the same band, because it was just MySpace. And then I might be a Jew, but I still love you for Christmas. I thought that was just a cute tune, and it's really short.
That's a great name.
I know, the title just, alone, I was just like, even if this song sucks, I'm going to put it up there, because that's awesome.
I do that occasionally.
but then that was pretty much just me search around for holiday music, and it was a lot more difficult just because of the licensing.
I think the best holiday song that I've ever heard was Holiday in Cambodia by the Dead Kennedys.
That's what Holiday in Congo made me think of.
yeah, no, that's what, when you said that a second ago, I was like, what they should do is just play that song, and instead of Cambodia, they should just say Congo. that would be better. Right. But yeah, the Cambodia and Congo are both kind of sketchy places. Although I think I guess there's like Congo, and then there's the Democratic Republic of Congo that are two different countries. And I don't know, maybe like Congo proper is
Maybe it's like Jamaica, too, where they've got the whole section where like only the rich people are allowed or the tourists, and then they, you know, the rest of the poverty just stays off over there, over the other side of the fence, you know?
Well, that's the big problem in DP, Democratic People's Republic, DPR, Congo, that the South is where all the oil money is. And but most of the country is like the North. It's just a little pocket in the South. And I don't want to pretend like I know all about it, but I do know that the southern part is I don't know all about it. I'm just saying the southern part is where like all the rich people are, but it's not like, I don't think it's like a tourist sort of thing. It's like there's oil wells, and unless that's what you're into, if you like, you know, visiting the various oil wells around the world and taking pictures and
I do.
Stuff.
You've been reading my diary.
Okay. Yeah. So can't hide it from me, Tom. Before we go too far from that as well, we should put The Baby's Got Morphine Eyes in the show notes since we were talking about it, and because it's by Zombie Prom Queen, I found out here. So, and it did in fact not make
you
the
searched
show.
The site. You didn't trust me, did you?
Well, I thought maybe I did zombie before you said that, and then I was like, I don't know, maybe it was like all one word, like maybe it was zombie prom, if it was one word or something, I don't know. So I just searched it again.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to make sure I had the name right.
Yeah, you got it.
And that we were talking about the same song.
I totally knew what song you were talking about because I was because the thing that happened too is it turned out to be like a 5-minute song, whereas like
it's 2 minutes and 33 seconds.
Well, then it seemed like it.
It seemed like it was 5 hours long. About 12 seconds in, but
now, I've learned since then to make sure that I listen, you know, before I download the song, I make sure I listen at least till the first chorus before I go, yeah, I like this.
But yeah, no, I would like to hear people's opinions about it, and we should just put a link to it in this show, or put it in the next music show if that's how you want to roll with it. I don't know.
We can't do that.
That's what I was thinking too, but I was gonna leave it up to you. Right. So unless you got anything else, what about your what about Tom's tool of the week?
Well, Doug, I'll tell you, my tool of the week is usually we're trying to do things that can help a musician, something they can use, something that's either open or normally free. Well, one thing I've learned talking about doing the music show that we have, our sister podcast to this, is that a lot of people, when we go to link to their website, still only have a MySpace page. And I think that's wrong. And I think in this day and age, you can have your... I just think it's very important to still have your own website. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about how easy it is to still, and very cheap, to get a website going, and you don't even really need a lot of know-how to do it. One of the ways is, and what I use, I pay $10 a year, and that's all I pay for web hosting, posting and music and all the stuff that my band can use, and it's by using Blogger. Now, you don't even have to pay for that. You can just, if you want to have .blogspot.com after your website, more power to you. But I think the importance of having a website is just... we'll get more into that. I'm just going to name off a couple of things that might be easy for someone. So with the new setup at Blogger, you can actually go in and design the website. It's got like a whole template design thing, like not just, hey, pick from this site, this site, this site. It goes, hey, pick from this style of site, change the colors. It goes, decide how many columns you want, decide how wide you want your site to be, decide what the length. I mean, you can go all the way in as far as even changing the CSS if you know enough about that. And even farther, you can go in and change the entire, rewrite the HTML all you want. That's really handy, but if you don't know a lot of it, and a lot of musicians don't know how to make a website and they'll hire other people to do it. Well, you don't really need to. And this is all like, it has a drag and drop interface. It lets you upload pictures and video, which you don't need to do the video thing because there's YouTube out there, but it lets you upload pictures and other such things up to 2 gigs of hosted pictures for your website. And and for video, there's YouTube. You just upload stuff there, embed it on your site. For music, there's the Free Music Archive, or there's Bandcamp, or there's SoundCloud. So you can put players on your site, embed it, you can have from other places, people can download it. There's really no reason that you couldn't be doing all this, and it's actually fairly simple and doesn't take a lot of work. So that's one way.
What do you think about bands actually having their site on MySpace but having a domain? Because that's, to me, that's the thing. It's like I see MySpace.com as their website, and then I just like think small time. But if they have, we'll just go with your band, if you had lorenzosmusic.com, but then it pointed to MySpace, I would think that it was a decision to just use MySpace rather than being lazy and sort of, you know.
It used to be a decision because of a lot of the things that I just mentioned, which are MySpace will let you host, like, it used to only be like, let you host like 4 songs. Now it'll let you host like, you know, an entire album or like 12 songs or something. It's got its own player. And
well,
I think
people just used MySpace and didn't even point to it with another domain name. right? Or are you, or did that happen in the past? I mean, I don't remember seeing a lot of that. But
right.
Maybe.
But I've run across it too, where you go to the domain and then it pulls up their MySpace page. It like does a redirect. Okay. And and it would just be a redirect. So they'd buy the URL, but then they'd just have it go to MySpace. And once again, it was because then they were like, well, we can host our pictures here. We can, you know, have a music player there. It has a blogging feature. And I just think that that's the way it used to be. And MySpace used to be the place where a band was. But for that specific reason is the reason why I'm going to say you should have your own website. Because now if you go there, you're going to be like, oh, my God, this is just a freaking MySpace page. That's silly. You know why? Because MySpace isn't popular anymore. And and that's the main reason why you should have a website, because social net websites aren't always going to be there. Meebo, I believe, was the name of the other one, or Bebo, or whatever one that MySpace bought. They bought it and killed it. There were a lot of bands that were hosting their stuff there. That's always going to happen. There's the whole, like with Facebook even, there's the whole, like, they had their privacy issues and everybody was jumping ship on that. Who knows if something else might come up that, you know, may affect it. So with a website, it's always going to be there. You're always going to be able to host it. You're always going to have the domain name. Even if you have to, and the reason I bring up Blogger is because it's Google and it's been around forever and it's one of their most successful things. So I kind of feel like it's always going to be there. So I think that one's pretty trustworthy. But even so, you know, there are other ways that you can, maintain a website, even, just with a little bit of background. Needing to learn it. There are even free services out there that I don't recommend using for this specific reason, because I don't know how long they'll last. But there's one that's like an entire, it's made specifically for bands. It's called 44.com, spelled out F-U-O-R, I think. And it's actually sort of like your own CMS that has like a build your own website for bands thing. It has a built-in player. It will, you have the free or premium option. One with ads, one without ads, and it'll set you up with like your own music store on it, all kinds of stuff. And it's a cool service, but it's rather new, and I don't know how long it might last. So I don't technically recommend that one, but when I saw it, I was like, I actually had an idea like that, and I'm sure tons of people have, where I'm like, you know, there should be something just built for bands.
Do you think they're going to go the way of MySpace, and then they're going to get big in music, and then they're going to see a market to expand?
Right.
Because, I mean, MySpace and Facebook both did that. Now, Facebook did it with, like, colleges, and then they, you know, kept sort of branching out. And, I mean, I think MySpace did that as well, you know, in a different direction. But, or do you think, I mean, I know you don't know these guys, you know, that, you know, the website that much, but, I mean, do you think there's really a market for just music, and that they can keep it that way? Like, it basically, I guess, is sort of staying true to music and not branching out. Is that not on sort of an ideological thing, but on a business level, is that a good thing to do, or what do you think?
I think from the history of it, there are two things wrong with it. One is that musicians, for the most part, are inherently poor, so there's not a lot of money to be had from them, and what they're asking for is something that will require a lot of bandwidth. This, like I have said, has changed over the years because there are other services that could be integrated, and I think nobody's really done that yet. Nobody's like partnered up with, or well, I guess MySpace has in the other sense, but you know, like partnered up with, hey, we're opening this up and we need videos, so YouTube, what do you think? Or, you know, Blip TV, what do you think? You want to partner with us? Or any other sort of audio hosting or whatever. So I think that there's a lot of overhead in that, which is unfortunate. The other thing is, too, is that with that main problem also causes another problem, is that the money is always going to come from the fans, the people that are going to be buying the stuff. So they'll always want to take a cut, but then at the same time, and this is where MySpace went wrong, is that they were like, oh, so what you can do is become a fan of this band, and then all of a sudden to do that, you have to be a member of the site. So then to become a member, well, why wouldn't they get their own site? And then all of a sudden there are more fans than bands, and I think that's how MySpace got eaten up originally. So, yeah, it's hard to say. There are a lot of mistakes that could be made and that have been, but I just think with all the stuff that's out there and the integration of every site with every other site these days, needs to be utilized a little bit more. Everybody's too busy trying to make sure that their site is the next Facebook or, you know, the original MySpace or whatever. I think they should all just shut up and work together and they could, or at least, you know, somebody should take those and put them together into one thing for a band to use, rather than try and do it all themselves, because I think that's just shooting yourself in the foot in the long run, because you're just kind of doing something that another service is already doing that you could just use. Just kind of become a place to help put together those third-party services into one. I think it could become kind of cool, because then you can concentrate on the other crap instead of trying to figure out how to serve up videos or how to serve up audio.
This is changing the subject slightly.
Okay.
But what do you think about the new MySpace? MySpace was hideous for a long time,
right.
And people like to complain about Facebook changing thing every third hour. But what do you think about the new look?
I think it's a valiant effort. And that's
not like the most sincere.
No, I mean, I'll give
them backhanded compliment.
Kudos for trying, you know. And the funny thing is they've actually, since they've switched it, again is what's up. And that's the funny thing. Like, they originally they should have really listened to what the fans wanted or the users wanted, because originally what was up is that anybody in the world could a regular user account, you could do whatever you wanted to it. If you were banned, you had to get one of those Pimp My MySpace account things or whatever. Like, you had no control over the way that your band account looked. But you could customize your personal account all you wanted. And people kept asking, and it's just like, nope, same old ugly crap, or, you know, same plugin that you got to make it look like something else or whatever. And now they finally, right before they did the redesign, they finally launched a thing where they're like, hey, you can come in and bands, you can customize your template or, you know, make your site look different. So I went in there and did that, and I was like, oh, okay, tried it out. It was all right. You know, you could make some changes, colors, the layout was different. I thought, oh, that's all right. And then a week later, oh, we changed our layout. Boom, everything got blown out. Now it's just everything looks the same again. This is what your site looks like. You know, and you know, I know that they're trying to be more consistent. I mean, like with Facebook, you have no control over the way your site looks. But yeah, so then they took this customization that they give you, and then they took it away again. I couldn't believe it. It was like, that's what the hell's going on? So that's what the new design is, and I don't know. It looks good, but it's kind of orchid-ish to me, you know?
Sort of what?
Orchid-ish.
What do you mean?
Orchid, you know, Google's.
Oh! I thought you were saying orchid, like the flower.
No, orchid, O-R-K-U-T.
Yeah. Right.
Because what it is it's like, hey, look at all this fancy customization. Plop, there's our ad. You know, it's not integrated. It's just like, oh, there's the same old, like the ads will still take over the page, or it'll be big flashy blinky things, or like I said, it's too little too late, kind of. And even with their, like, hey, check out our subtle new, like, minimalistic logo, which I thought was a joke when I first heard about it, when they said they released a new logo. Like, I checked the page that I read on what the new MySpace logo was, and I was like, is this an Onion article? You know, I was like, who the hell would actually put the, you know, the space logo for a space? And
well, that's like the Richard Hale song, Blank Generation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what it's supposed to be, is like a blank, not, you know, because a lot of people. Well, so the Sex Pistols, you know, one of the, you know, people love to hate on the Sex Pistols. But, you know, that they're pretty vacant. Is sort of a misunderstanding of the Richard Hale song. And so they're talking about there being nothing there, and the Richard Hale song isn't saying that there's nothing there. They're saying that it's whatever you want it to be, or it could be a variety of things, which is much different than nothingness.
I think they're trying too hard. That already sounds like
the MySpace. MySpace?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but I was just.
No, I know, but I mean, like, I knew there was some sort of thing behind that, or they're saying, like, it's your space, so you decide what goes there. And now there's a whole thing, like, you roll over it, and, like, freaky crap falls out of the top of the screen. Have you seen that?
Whoa, I didn't see that. That sounds kind of cool.
It's really weird, depending on what time of day or what day it is. The first time I saw it, I think it was when it was hunting season, and a giant, you hover over the MySpace logo. In the top left-hand side, and, like, a giant deer head fell down, and then his tongue stuck out and wrapped around his head. Like, that was...
Got,
and I was just like, what am I watching here?
I've got octopus tentacles at the moment.
Yeah, see, like, right there, I'm just like, what's that all about? I mean, it is kind of cool, and I do enjoy that, but it's like, I'm not going to go back to a site just because they're doing that.
I don't know, I might. I wonder if it's the same Well, I guess there's probably some JavaScript. I was going to say, wonder if it's the same. I mean, I don't think it's an animated GIF.
No.
But if it was an animated GIF. Yeah, if it was an animated GIF, though, you could just go to the URL of the GIF, and when they updated it, then you could just see what they had going.
That's very true.
So that'd be sweet. But, yeah, that's not what it is. So.
Yeah, I think they should have just played it cool and done more of the, you know, shut up, we're MySpace, whatever. I think they should have played it more like that instead of trying to just pander to everybody. Because now, again, they're trying too hard, and to me it seems like it's overblown and they're trying too hard.
Hmm.
So anyway, that's beyond my tool of the week. That's gone into talking about, like, really what's wrong with MySpace. And also, nobody goes there anymore. Nobody goes there anymore, bands. Okay?
It's like Tom's anti-tool of the week.
Yeah, so that's that. That's my tool of the week. And if you want more info, I'll probably be bringing this up more and more as it goes along, because I think it's important. Just there are a lot of really easy, simple ways to build a website. And just for fun, if you are a band and you're listening and you're looking for a website, just sign up for a Blogger account. It doesn't even have to be a real one. Just go there, try it out, and you can delete the account when you're done. All you need is a Gmail account, and sign up and mess around with it and see what I'm talking about. And, you know, just don't name it what you want to name it. Just name it something goofy.
You can always, once you get, like, a sign up, you can make as
You can
well,
make as many of them as you want. I've got 36. one of them is because for each page on the website, like say one page is for audio, one page is for pictures, you would just start a new one for the pictures, and then you would just create a nav that goes to each one of them. So, I mean, it's just like in a regular CMS, each one is a different page. It's not all in one place. So when you go to the back end on Blogger, it's they're all just listed, like, you know, you have one listed photos, you have one listed homepage. Yeah, so I would just say go around and mess around with it. For those that don't know how to set up their own web server and host and all that kind of stuff and don't want to spend a lot of money. And I'll probably bring it up more things like that in the future.
So I don't know if you've looked. I moved some stuff around here on the show notes. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to some of these things, well basically a lot of the stuff in here is visualization stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's stuff that I had kind of thought that we might talk about with Mike, since he does, Mike Nutt, who we interviewed. And right. Because he does a lot with video, but we had plenty to talk about, so I just thought I'd throw them in here, particularly since I didn't have a lot of time to do research on, you know, other things.
Right, it being the holidays and all.
Yeah, so these things have been in the show notes for like 2 months or something. Have you ever looked at them?
No. Once we get down to the part where we're like, okay, we'll talk about this next week, that's about the extent of where my knowledge of our list goes.
So one of this is from Vocamus.net. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that
looks right.
Correct. But so what this guy did is... He's talking about the audio API in Firefox 4. And if you're not like a web person, basically what they're talking about is being able to embed music in the browser. Mm-hmm. So, or not just music, but sounds generally, but for us, music. And so just talking about all the different things that you can do with that. And so what he's got here is some JavaScript that... does signal processing and, you know, makes, you know, like the, like, I guess they'll all do it, you know, VLC or Windows Media Player. I don't ever use them.
You're talking more Windows like the iCandy stuff or?
The visualizations, you know, like where it like pops and stuff. Mm-hmm. To the music.
Right.
I'm sure you've seen those. Yeah. I don't know if Amarok has those or.
It does. I don't use it either.
Yeah. So, but anyway, he's doing this with JavaScript, and so he's asking people to. He wants to get 50 of them. In fact, the title of the article is, I think, misleadingly named 50 visualizations of life's things, and so he started off with 3. So you would think that it would be 3 visualizations, but no. So he asked people to like do this, and so I guess that's one of the reasons that I wanted. I mean, first to just talk about, you know, the different things that you could do with Creative Commons music. You know, you wouldn't necessarily be able to do this with copyrighted, you know, normally all rights reserved music.
Right.
Well, basically, he's got 13 comments, so I don't know how many of these are actually the things, but basically he's got at least 34 to go, or I guess he said he had 3 to start with, so 31 to go. You know, so if people want to, you know, they know JavaScript and want to do some of this stuff, I would say go check it out. You know, and like I said, it's all, this stuff is in Firefox. I don't know how cross, I mean, obviously JavaScript is in like all the browsers.
Yeah, but I'm trying to look at it in Chrome right now and none of them are working.
Yeah, so you're going to have to do it in Firefox, I guess.
But it's really weird. See, that's what I hate about the fact that everybody's like going, oh, we're doing HTML5 and CSS3, but we got our own version of it. I hate that because there are things where I'll go to sites and I'll be like, this is only doable in Chrome, or this is only doable in Safari, or this is only doable in Firefox. Even the players themselves – sorry, I'm going on a total rant here. Even the players themselves are different. Like the HTML5 player for Chrome – is super ugly and boxy, whereas the one for Firefox is like really cool and like has a little like counter bubble on it and everything, like, you know, it's,
well, that's an implementation detail,
right.
I mean, that doesn't have anything to do on the back end,
that has nothing to do with, yeah, that's what's built into the browser, but I'm just saying, can't they just all use the same crap?
Can't we all just get along?
But I mean, I suppose then there wouldn't be differences in browsers and everything would just be back to being one browser again. But still, I mean, when it comes with the HTML5 stuff, like this one here is like a simple canvas-based spectrum. So obviously it's going to be written in the canvas tag, right? Doesn't work in Chromium. And that's I find that disappointing. So, you know, the mysterious canvas tag that everybody's so into in the new HTML5. That nobody knows exactly what it does. I swear to God, nobody knows exactly what it does. They're like, oh, Canvas Tag will fix that. Anyway, okay, I'm done with my rant. Sorry about that. Yeah, no, but I like the that's really cool that he's, I haven't used iCandy stuff like this since, I think the last time I used it was when I got my very first MP3 player, when it used to have to be programs you would buy. Remember when it used to come on a disc to get something to play your music? I had the first one I got was Siren by Sonic Foundry in town here. It was an MP3 jukebox sort of program. And then they discontinued it because then all of a sudden everybody started, like Winamp came out and all these players were free online. So they stopped doing it.
So you said it didn't work in Chrome, but...
Not for me.
Yeah, so I don't know which one you went to, but this one guy says he tested on Firefox 6, Chrome 5, and Opera 10. So that's the, well, I'll just send it here to you. I don't really know what it's supposed to do, though.
Yeah, I've tried all three of them, and none of them. Like, the Canvas one will open a, it opens the full screen window. It doesn't show the player, but yeah, the you know, it, the music just plays and nothing happens, but with the other two, it just shows the audio player for me.
Well, oh, okay. So that definitely worked. I'm in Firefox. So we'll have to, people and I just have to play with these, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just clicking on them as I go around, and the one that you sent me just sent me to a webpage not available.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, something must have cut off, because it's definitely...
Oh, wait, I refreshed it again, and now I refreshed it twice, and then it showed up.
So I think what you have to do on this one is, like, load stuff, and you got the three things, and then you have to go over to the run. Yeah. I don't know. I got it to work, but... Yeah.
That's cool stuff, though. I mean, I'm glad that people are trying to make the web prettier. That's the other thing, too, is, like, you know, instead of just, like, hey, look at all this cool crap we can do, it's, like, they're trying to justify, like, yes, you can actually really create web-based elements.
Okay, so I definitely just made noise in Chrome.
I heard that.
And it was loud as hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually heard it.
Yeah. So, yeah, turn down your speakers when you play with these websites. Turn them up loud enough so that you can hear them, but no louder.
Right.
Else you may go deaf. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I just thought maybe we could help this guy out, get to his goal of 50, and some people could see some cool stuff and maybe have something to play with. But so that was that. And I was, you know, just sort of looking at visualizations and such at the time. We had another one here from the Free Software Magazine, which we've talked about a few of them. The name of the article is 7 Things We Don't Have to Invent for Animation Products. And then in parentheses, thanks to free software and previous free culture productions. And so they, I'll just run through them here. One, business models. Two, software. Three, animation, tool chain, and project structure. Four, mini vehicle models. Five, character models and rigging. Six, sound and music. And seven, licensing.
I'll agree with all that. That's very true. That used to be a lot of those used to be a lot harder to do to animate. See, and that's because I think I've mentioned this on here before. I mean, when I first tried doing my own animation was around the time period when, like, I think I used Flash 4, for crying out loud. And that was, like, back in the early 2000s. And it was way more archaic back then to get things, to find things, to post things. Like now YouTube wasn't even out yet. YouTube didn't even come out till like 2005, 2006. So like finding references, finding, you know, now you can just, you know, punch in like, how do I do this? And you'll get tons of videos on how you can do it. And you can learn how to do it at least, or get some help if you're stuck. Like I'll agree with all that.
So, you know, just in sort of the vein of, you know, again, like the little browser visualizations, you know, and when you're doing the, you know, video or animation, or, you know, whether it's animation or, you know, like a documentary or a live action film, you know, you've got the music. And this is more, we talked about this before, the Morivna project, and Terry Hancock is the person who wrote this. So it's more about that, those films that we've talked about before. So people can go check that out. And you can get, if you click on Terry Hancock's name, you can see like the whole string of things that have been in this little production that they've had, this little series of articles.
Oh, and I wanted to say one more thing too. I don't know if this is, you know, is supposed to be covering that as well, but the first one, business models, I would also add to that distribution.
Yeah, yeah.
I think distribution has also changed considerably, but, you know, I guess that's not really through free software, but...
Well, I mean, it depends on how
free internet,
deeply
I
into
guess.
It you... Well, yeah, the internet, you know, HTML and HTTP and all that is, you know, open, and... But also, I mean, you know, there's a, you wouldn't have nearly as many web servers and hosting companies and stuff if it weren't for Linux.
Right.
So that's another way. I mean, that's another layer. But yeah, definitely. And then this last one here is a list of 20 open source movies you can edit and redistribute for free.
Oh, sweet.
So some of these we've kind of talked about, or just in passing at least, Sintel, and Sitta Sings the Blues, by our famous person, I can never remember her name. Is it Nina Paley? Is that
yes.
what it is?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so that's on there, and I don't know that these are in any sort of order.
I've never seen the Sintel one before. That one looks really good.
Yeah, that's by the, well, it says right there, but I knew this anyway, by the Blender people. They also did, the Blender guys did another one, too, that's on here.
It's...
Elephant's Dream,
right.
Which is number six. Well,
I've seen Elephant's Dream and Big Buck Bunny. I've seen those, but I've never seen this Sintel one. And Elephant's Dream was supposed to be like a... I've only seen... bits of it. I've never seen... Oh, it is a 10-minute short movie. Okay, I thought it was supposed to be a full-length. Like, there was talk about, like, the first full-length Blender movie is supposed to be coming out, and I keep hearing that, but I never see it. Or I haven't seen anything about it, so I don't know.
Sintel, I think, was released pretty recently, and it was definitely 2010. So I think that was the, you know, like... I don't know if they're trying to do, like, one a year, or how it's working, but... But yeah, Sintel was released a couple months ago, but IMDb doesn't say. Yeah, release date online was September 30th, 2010. And they showed it at the Netherlands Film Festival on September 27th, just before that.
Yeah, and the other thing too, you ain't kidding. Right here, download the source. A 12 gigabyte of production files, including Blender modeling, artwork, scores, are available in a 4-DVD package. Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, you want to remix some video there, and or do a different, you don't like their soundtrack, you know, make your own. So.
Or even, you know what, crack it open and learn how it works. That's also another great way to do it, you know. I think the best, it's just like with, you could sit there and read a book about something, but unless you're in there seeing how it works, you know, you're not applying that knowledge to anything. And I think that it's a great idea to do too, is to just download the stuff and try it.
Yeah. So I think all of these, they are Creative Commons videos, but they're not just Creative Commons videos. These are actually open source. Yes. All of these, you know, so you can get, you know, at least some of the, you know, the pieces of it. And I haven't, you know, downloaded any of this. Now, I don't know if we've ever mentioned getting the source for Sita Sings the Blues, but they've got it on archive.org here, separate from the actual video. And so they have, I guess, are the .fla files. What are those?
It's a flash file.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. I guess those are for the CD, the DVD, like the flash intro stuff.
FLA are actually, yeah, because FLA is actual working flash files. Those are actually, like, you can only open those with flash. They're not like flash video or anything. They're like, they're like the original flash source files.
So maybe,
which, if I remember correctly in the story, Sita Sings the Blues was done in,
yeah,
flash.
It looks like it, because all of these .fla files are, right. Yeah, there's like a,
because she discovered the whole Creative Commons thing as she went along and was doing that and finding that it was becoming difficult to do, and that's why she put it into Creative Commons,
yeah,
stuff.
So yeah, there's like, I don't know how large they all are together, but all of the .flas are there, it would appear. So, but it doesn't look. Oh yeah, okay. So there's one that's, you know, 104 megabytes. A lot of them are really small, but some of them are add up to be.
These are actually, I think these are flash libraries. What they are is each character has their own library that you can import and use. So, and it looks like they may be scenes as well, or backgrounds. So yeah, so like one here is labeled puppets, so I'm assuming that means that there's a file of puppet characters that she pieced together that have like the arms and legs, and because each one of them are built into many pieces, like there'll be the torso, there'll be the head, the mouth, you know, all that kind of stuff. So you can just import that, and then, you know, I said something that made
you
laugh.
No, I'm reading this. I'm still looking at this archive.org thing, and at the end of the text, before it gets to the flash files, it says, "Yes, I know bad people can also use the .fla files for dastardly deeds. The dreaded hypothetical Nazi porn version that always comes up in Q&As. Bad people can use our shared language and technology for evil too, but I'm not going to constipate culture out of the fear of imaginary worst-case scenarios. I'm confident much more good will come of this than bad, and that's the motivation enough for me. It's free culture, baby. If programmers can tinker with the free software source code, artists can tinker with Sita Sings the Blues source files." So,
very true.
Yeah. I just love the dastardly deeds in the dreaded hypothetical Nazi porn version.
Yeah. And I mean, that's, she says that comes up in
Q&As,
Q&As. But you know what? That's a way that a lot of the artists actually started. You know, a lot of artists would do it out of protest and take things that were supposed to be propaganda and then demoralize them to prove their point. So, I mean, they're looking at it in the sense that, like, ooh, they're just going to turn it into porn. And it's just like, well, no, maybe they're going to make a statement with it, too. Or maybe they're going to point something out, or maybe somebody disagrees with what she did there. I mean, who knows? You know, that's what art is. I hate to say it, but tough crap. But yeah, I mean, but that is pretty funny though. Yeah, a lot of good links there. I like that. And I was scrolling through the rest of these movies too, and there's a lot of stuff where I'm just like, oh, I should check that out.
Yeah, I would love to sit and watch all of these. Right now I don't have time, but one day I may be able to.
There's one down at the bottom called Code Rush, which is about the story of how the Netscape project became the Mozilla project.
Yeah.
That one looks cool.
I love how some of these have IMDb. I don't know why that I associate IMDb with like having made it, because I think probably anything can get on there. But
yeah, it's no different than a wiki.
I know,
I mean,
but
you
just
got to sign up and do it.
It just seems like, I don't know, I'm not on IMDb.
You aren't in a movie.
Yeah. Actually, that's not true. I did actually direct a short film in college.
Nazi porn?
No, it wasn't nuts. It was pretty. It wasn't pornographic, but my professor said it was the most risque film that he had ever seen in a class before. But what they had us do, they gave us a short story, right? And we were supposed to make a film out of the short story. And the short story was all about like these people having like wild sex. So what were we supposed to do? You know, if they want, you know, flowers and bunnies, they should give us a story that has flowers and bunnies. That's the way
having sex.
If that's what they want, you know. But, you know, it wasn't just me. Although I was sort of the, I will admit to being sort of the driving force behind the soft porn nature of the film. I was certainly the driving force in that. And I was also in charge of casting. So I certainly got people that were comfortable with that. Amazingly, people whose boyfriends were comfortable with that too. I don't know how I managed that, but somehow I did. One of the guys on the team is a professional video editor now, so he having him on the team was pretty quality. But that's cool. I should put that on there and put all of us in there and stuff.
Get yourself an IMDb.
And then yeah, and I could. I don't think we have. I don't have. I certainly don't have the. The source for that. We did it in Final Cut Pro. I don't know if anybody does, but maybe we could throw it out there for people to remix. So yeah. Actually, our music is not, you know, we did the typical student thing and just pulled songs that we wanted and didn't care. Didn't give
like
two hoots about
what Mike was talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what we did. But I mean, that was in the communications department that Mike worked in. And actually, we didn't mention this in the show with Mike, but I worked with Mike in that communications department. And I did some. We'll just leave it at I did systems administration. It's a little more complicated than that, but that's there's no reason to go into it. But that's how I know Mike is because I worked in the communications department. But yeah, that's some, I mean, we're, you know, like I said, I had kind of stocked these up to talk about, to talk with Mike. So
yeah,
it's a little more video related than, music, but, you know, that's what that's the whole point, I think, of the Creative Commons free culture stuff is that, you can put it together with other stuff, you know?
Yeah, and I think video along with, I mean, just like what we were talking about with bands having websites, you know what? Bands can go out there and make videos too, and there's lots of resources for them to learn, do, and, you know, produce it. So I think it's just as relevant in that sense as well.
So.
And like I said, one way to learn about it is to go look at this stuff. I mean, hell, you just said, here's the freaking files. Download them, and you can check them out and see
what they did. Did you listen to that Floss Leakley on Severed Fifth?
No. Okay. Totally forgot about it, you know, at the holidays and all.
Right.
I can listen to that, and we can talk about that next time if you
yeah,
like.
No, I think that'd be good. Just because...
I know that there was a conversation we were having about it last time about, I don't remember what it was that I was listening for in general or what sparked the conversation in general that I should have gone and listened to it. There was something we were talking about.
Well, the main thing I think is that I think it'd be good to have your perspective having, you know, been in a band that, you know, sells digital media and I guess physical media as well.
And I remember what it was we were talking about too, because my question was because he's open sourcing the music or opening it up, and my question was like, how deep does that go?
Yeah.
Okay, I remember that now.
So, take a listen at that. And I'm actually was planning on re-listening to it as well, so it would be fresh because I think there's a lot in there. And then I've got two other things that I think are going to be big topics to talk about in upcoming weeks, but I just didn't have enough time to talk about that. But just to give people a little teaser here, we talked about one of them last week, actually, and that was sort of the jurisdiction in the copyright. And I thought about this a little bit, and basically there are all these treaties that, you know, are over like global copyright and stuff. And so I just need to look into those and see what exactly this guy is saying about the jurisdictions. But I didn't have time to do that. And the other one is this guy, Steven, who goes by MV or Marxist Vegan, depending on which StatusNet site you're on.
Is that what that is? I've seen that name before. I didn't know that it stood for Marxist
Vegan.
Yeah,
so he's Marxist Vegan on Identica, but he moved because there were weird issues if you're on, you know, basically if you're the same name on two different sites and then someone at replies to that name, it's going to go locally. So if he was Marxist Vegan on both places, then he would be, they would get, you know, the Identica one. So he just made MV. And plus, MV is much shorter than Marxist Vegan. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he sent me this article or this paper that I really thought I was going to have time to read it today. And I started reading it, but I didn't get through it. So it's pretty in-depth. I mean, it's like a, you know, like a scholarly paper. I'm not going to ask you to read that because it's just long. And
you know, if there's no pictures involved, I'm only going to get about a quarter of the way through it.
And there's little red squares to denote the
it's not enough. It's got to have
chapter.
Batman.
Yeah. I could just take the HTML of this and put it on my own site and put Batman on it. And
there you go.
That would be.
Switch out all the word bubbles with what's actually being said in the book.
Yeah. So I'll talk about that more.
All right.
But I think that's it.
Then I guess I just want to thank everyone for joining us for another Music Manumit podcast, and we'll see you next time.